way too long. Let's not go that long again.
Please. I agree with that completely. All right. Well, let's start with the Super Bowl is down 18 million viewers, including, by the way, streaming. So it's down 18 million viewers from 6 years ago. The NFL is going to get its money, and they're going to do just fine. Is there any area for concern? Because the flip side is 79 of the top 100 shows are NFL games.
Yes. Here's why. And they're not going to say it this way because they have to sell to sponsors, and I understand that. And look, we would encourage any sponsor to be involved with the NFL. But what's really interesting when you talk about professional sports, and you and I have had these conversations in depth before, is when a league is growing and going positively, they never compare themselves to their neighbors. And the example I'll give is, like, for example, baseball. They'll say, hey, we are at X percent year over year on attendance, on growth, on whatever else. But they'll never say, well, we only grew 24%, while football grew 100% and basketball grew 100%. Right? You never heard that on the way up. You always just heard, here's how great it was, because you're obviously trying to, you know, use statistics to sell your product better. It's the old saying, lies, darn lies, and statistics are the three kinds of lies. But what's interesting now is when you see some down numbers from even the NFL, who's led the pack, now all of a sudden we're comparing it to our neighbors. Right, something we've never done in the past. We're now saying, well, yeah, I mean, it's down, but it's not as down as everything else. And this isn't, attention is a zero-sum game, right? The argument to say our numbers are down, but everybody else's are down too, so that's okay. The attention span and the spending power of the people that you're trying to sell to is not just evaporating into the ether. It's going somewhere else. So where is it going? Right. And that's the question the NFL has to answer, because right now, obviously, there's a lot of success, there's a lot of value in those sponsorships and those dollars and in everything else that are tied around football. But if you're looking at a trend now that's not a COVID trend, something that's been happening, as you stated, for 6 years, there is a theme here. They are losing eyeballs, recreational eyeballs, to something else, because people are spending that time on something else. That's what the brands are starting to pay attention to, too. And so when you see that number and you see people try to say it's not a big deal, the NFL is still – and you cited how the NFL talks about it, a lot of the press talks about it, that, hey, we're still 9 out of 10 of the top TV shows there is.
Right.
But TV isn't all there is, right? And so it's really interesting to see how – I'll be really, really curious to see how the NFL handles this, especially when you have something like a global event like the Super Bowl, which – has ratings that have dropped.
So now let's bring it to the other part. We went months without sports, and many felt that when sports came back, and the fact that many people were home, that they'd be watching a lot of sports. The ratings don't show that. What's your read on that?
My read is, it's interesting. We've had so many great conversations on the show over the years, and you and I spoke a couple of years ago about how necessary the ambiance of an event is just because of who we are as people, right? We're tribal by evolution. We just want to be around other people and have that excitement and that energy and whatever that is, whether that's the original Olympic Games in Athens or it's at Happy Valley for the Whiteout game. And you and I were talking about 2 years ago about stadium sizes and arena sizes, and how there was always this conversation about how an arena was eventually going to become like a sound stage. And you were going to have people in there to try to create an ambiance, but you had to try to strike that balance with the sound stage so that it creates the kind of event that people want to be a part of. And I think we're really getting that experiment on the far other side where, you know, we underestimated, I don't think you and I didn't, we had this conversation already, but I think a lot of people underestimated how much of the event itself is the ambiance and the crowd and the tribalism and the excitement and the energy, because those things do translate. It's not always, like, you know, when a Michael Jordan retires, the NBA didn't go away because people still like experiencing those things together. And so I personally think, and there's some studies that we've been reading in the Sports Business Journal and in some of Advertising Age and in some of what Nielsen is doing that show that the effect of not having a crowd has been significant. What I'm really curious to see is the ratings differences in the Australian Open, because they had a crowd for a couple of days, and now they don't. And it, to me, it's even noticeable. And I'm not the biggest tennis fan, but it's very noticeable to me.
And they've got a prime semifinal with Osaka against Serena Williams. That,
yeah,
I think it's going to be an even better gauge. Yeah, they can't do better than that.
But you can't do better than Patrick Mahomes against Tom Brady.
No, you can't.
You can't.
And
like
it's like
the emperor had no clothes in this one, because you always have to find an excuse if you underperform. That's what every team, league, venue, whatever does. And the NFL really struggles on this one to say, okay, well, people weren't doing anything else. They were home, right, watching TV. We had probably the best matchup we could have gotten for television's sake, not for ticketing's sake, but for television's sake, you couldn't have done better on a national level, and it still dropped significantly. That's terrifying for everybody involved.
And same thing with the college football national championship. Lowest rating yet. Now that you've got the NCAA basketball tournament coming up, all in the state of Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Which is too bad, because you and I both know that is such a shame. That is one of the best host cities there is for the Final Four. It's so fun.
No question. No question. In fact, Indianapolis does it up as well as anybody. They get it. But you're probably not going to have Duke. Probably not going to have Kentucky. Probably not going to have Michigan
State.
North Carolina. Right on. In fact, North Carolina scheduled a game this week to get a win. They scheduled Northeastern this week to get a win. Seriously, I mean, that's what they've done.
I thought.
So, how concerned should the NCAA be, because there's a downward trend to begin with, and love them or hate them, I mean, you're going to watch there are going to be people watching Duke because they love him and they want him to win. There's going to be a group watching Duke to watch them lose.
Yeah, much bigger group. You always need the black hat. Always.
Right. How much is this tournament going to be hurt that the casual fan will be missing marquee names that really only attract the casual fan?
It's interesting you say it, because we were talking about this last week and we were talking about sponsorship engagement with some of the brands that we use. I think there's no event out there that's going to be more hurt by no fans in the stands than March Madness.
Yes.
And it's not even going to be close. I mean, you're rooting for laundry in that case. Those kids switch out every year now. It used to be every 4 years you could watch a kid grow up, you know, back in your and my day. That's not the case anymore. You're rooting for Kentucky, you're rooting for a group of kids where three of them are going to be gone in a year. And it really is predicated on the energy that's in the building, the fact that Cinderella, you have, what was her name, Grandma Jean, the Loyola Chicago.
Sister
Jean.
You
have those faces, you have those names, and you have them there. And now we're going to play it on a soundstage. This event's going to do pretty poorly.
Right. So let's open the door now to the future here, because that's what you deal in. You deal in the future.
Yeah.
What is mine? No, I'm just kidding. So you deal in the future. We don't know. Things are opening up somewhat. Mm-hmm. Is there enthusiasm for a reopening somewhat? If somebody offers 20% of tickets, would 20% of the tickets then go?
Not what people think. Yes, there is a massive enthusiasm to return to normal once somebody shows that it's okay. Here's a terrible analogy that we've been using regularly, because we get calls from teams and venues who are saying, why aren't the brands coming back? You know them. Why aren't they coming back, right? They're spending on the sponsorship side like crazy. I mean, the NFL had a massive year with sponsors, but the companies aren't going back. Think Amity Island in Jaws, when nobody would get in the water until the mayor's kids were the first ones out, and then everybody kind of flocked in. Now that ended terribly. Let's hope that's not how it ends here. But
because the shark did show up.
Shark did show up. The good news is it showed up somewhere else, or it showed up in the channel.
Yes.
But neither here nor there. That's the way to think about this. Everybody's going to stay on the beach, even though they want to go in the water. everybody's going to stay on the beach until they think it's safe, until they see other people doing it. It's a really interesting study that they did. I think it was Princeton that did the study that was showing that people don't feel safe enough until they know somebody personally who's had that experience that they can then go have that experience. So what they were saying is, if the teams and if restaurants, the study was actually more around travel and restaurants than it was live events. But the premise was, if I want to go back, I'm not going to feel safe until Steve goes back, and then right. I go back with Steve. Right? So they need all of these first movers to come back and say that it's okay, and then to bring their friends with them back. So I think there's going to be a massive explosion in live. I really do. I think Coachella, I think those events are going to go back to where they were, and there's going to be a lot of pent-up demand. But I think what gets lost in history here is people are saying, you know, history is repeating itself, and 2021 is going to be this massive year, just like we had the roaring 20s after the Spanish flu. That's not what happened. Actually, 2021 was a recession year.
Yes,
the roaring 20s came in 2022.
That's right.
So I think we're going to see 21 was a bad year.
Yeah, 21 was a bad year after the Spanish flu. It was 22 through the middle of 29 that was exploding.
Right. And people think that we're just going to hit this rubber band and we're going to go back, and that's just not the case. Like, we're talking to the brands. And what's interesting, we had this conversation. We were on a panel with the NBA 2 weeks ago, and they were a little surprised by our take on it. We said, look, you have all of these teams, all of these colleges, all of these universities, you know, and you have these leagues around the country who hire their own marketing teams, their own analytics teams, and they're trying to study the fan, and they're trying to understand the fan, and they're trying to sell to the fan and all of those things. But they don't view the brands the way they should, because if you take, let's say, the Portland Trailblazers, for example, and you take their marketing team, and you put that up against Anheuser-Busch's marketing team, right? Like, just this high-powered, weaponized marketing team that understands everything there is to understand about the fans. I'll tell you who does know where the eyeballs are going. It's those guys. It's the Anheuser-Busch's, the Wells Fargo's, the MillerCoors. And you look at what they're doing, right? They're the ones who are going to give us an understanding of how we're going to get back and how fast we're going to get back. The MGMs, the Caesars, all of those. And you can kind of see this methodical return that they're planning over the course of the next three quarters. And that's going to give us an idea of when we get back to normal. And I think it's going to come, honestly, I think it's going to happen slower than people think, but faster than people think. What I mean is, I think everybody's going to expect this big snapback to happen in June or July. And I don't think that's going to happen, right? I think we're going to be sitting here in July going, where is everybody? But I think much like that beach in Amity Island, over the course of 2 weeks, it's going to snap. And all of a sudden, it's going to be full again. That's what we think is going to happen based on the numbers we're seeing.
Tony, who can you tell right now that gets it? And who can you tell right now that doesn't get it?
The brands get it. I mean, they, especially the ones who are focused on what the next generation is doing. So Anheuser-Busch, CDW, Nissan, Verizon really gets it. MGM, FanDuel, DraftKings, you know, these are all brands that are paying attention to exactly how people are using and spending their time. And what they're trying to do is triangulate what they were doing pre-COVID, what they were doing during COVID, and where that ends up in the future, right? And that's how they're trying to understand everything. Is, look, we're not going to compete for eyeballs. We're going to compete for the place where the eyeballs are. They're meeting the customers where they are. So they really do get it. And some of the leagues do, too. I mean, the NFL, they're putting that information out, but the NFL understands this, and the NBA is having these conversations, too. MLS gets it. They had that conversation about the work stoppage. There's no way that was ever going to happen. Baseball doesn't get it. Baseball doesn't get it because they can't get it, because they have such a fractured labor and contentious agreement between the players and the owners that they're going to get passed again. And that's a perfect segue into what we talked about earlier. You know, I watched Bob Bowman, who years ago was the head of MLBAM, give a whole speech about how the top four sports in the 1950s and 60s were boxing, horse racing, track, and baseball, and the only one left is baseball. And you see what he was doing. He was comparing himself to the people on his block, but he wasn't comparing himself to football and basketball, which had lapped them by that point.
Right.
And that's, those are the people who are understanding it, and those are the people who aren't. And a lot of that, none of this is to say that people aren't smart. I mean, Steve, it's just, it's the way they're incentivized. It's not nefarious. It's just, look, if I'm in charge of it for 4 years, I'm going to get everything I can, and I'm going to leave. And that's where you see the problem in the sports business.
Right, and that is the problem. And for look, there's the fact the NFL has settled its labor part, and essentially, except for Thursday Night Football, they've settled their television part.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball's 180 of this. Their contract is up November 30th. They can't even agree on playoffs and the DH now or delaying a season now. I mean, the players won't even go to the table.
No. But Steve, at least they have a commissioner and a head of the labor union. The Pac-12 yes. conference has nobody, and their TV contract is coming
true.
Up.
And that's true. Now, the first one up is going to be the Big Ten, though. First yep. one will be the
but
Big Ten.
But at least
10.
They have somebody who knows what he's doing in that role that everybody right. thinks very highly of. The Pac-12 doesn't even have somebody steering the ship currently.
But some will say that he took the previous ship and through the Pac-12 network steered it toward the dock.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
So you talk about the people who don't get it. Baseball and the Pac-12 are in real trouble. They're in real trouble with becoming also-rans. I would make the argument that the Pac-12 is already an also-ran, but they could be dropping off to just not mattering at all, losing their title as a Power 5 conference. And baseball, if they don't understand the next generation, they're going to be the same. We're going to start talking about baseball the way we talk about horse racing. There's nothing wrong with horse racing, but it's not right. a major four.
Right. The Olympics,
boxing, the same thing.
Yeah. The Olympics are still this summer, still on. And then it's going mm-hmm. to come right back again in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
What is the health of the Olympics? Because Beijing is going to bring with it different emotions politically. Tokyo is going to be a roll of the dice if they can just get it in. So where are the Olympics in this right now?
Well, there are people smarter than me that I rely on for that information. Right now, it's 6-1 that the Olympics happens with fans. If you put money on it, it's 6-1 in your favor. They are adamant that there will be fans in the stands in Tokyo still. And the people who have money on it are putting money on that side. The biggest problem the Olympics has is you have these premium Olympics in Tokyo, Paris, and Los Angeles that
yes.
are the rebuild the brand, destination locations, terrific on. I mean, everything about them works, right? Even Tokyo's time change isn't the end of the world. It's not great, but it's not the end of the world when you're talking about Western live television. Beijing is something we already did. You know, we did Beijing in 2008. The one thing Beijing has going for it, and you might be surprised by this, is Beijing might be the perfect Olympics for right now, for a year after Tokyo. And here's why. Because China will never let it fail. Because of
right.
the way
it's,
their
it's
government
true.
Runs and because of the pride they have, they will pack those stands with the locals if they have to and print money and put it in there. They will make it look like it's a success, even if it's not. It's not going to be like Russia, the Winter Olympics in Russia when nobody went, right?
Right.
They're going to do their job to make sure that this looks like it's a wild success, and maybe that's the hero we need, you know, 1 year after Tokyo when everybody's already spent all of their money, time, energy going and doing Tokyo on a national stage.
Yeah, remember the price of oil was $100 a barrel when Putin bid for it. It was 45.
Yeah.
It was 40. It was 45 when it came time to pay for it. All right, and Sochi was supposed to be turned into this great resort that everybody was going to flock to.
Yeah,
how's that going?
All right. No, I don't think any of us are going there on a bet. So the Olympics really—it's interesting. They need Tokyo to be strong. They need it. That's why they've made all the changes, because this is the metropolis, the metropolitan Western society, Olympic Games. Here comes Paris, and here comes Los Angeles behind it. You know, right. high firepower in Los Angeles, because we all remember the games, the last time they came through Los Angeles, kind of changed the way sponsorship worked. The team they yep. put together in LA this year, or for 2028, is the same thing, right? They just need to get to Paris and LA and keep it intact so the sponsors want to do it. Tokyo helps them do that. And then, honestly, as unexcited as I am about going back to Beijing, I spent a month there at the last games in 2008. It actually is like the most sure thing Olympics you can get. It's not like we're going to Qatar for the World Cup, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. That's right.
What a mess.
Oh my goodness.
On a bet.
We'll discuss that next time, which will be much sooner than later. I can't wait to have you back on.
Yeah, anytime. I really miss catching up with you guys. It's been interesting. I do think, like I said, I think the narrative has turned. People are more positive now. I think hopefully next time we're talking about, we have a full-time back date, and then we just need a couple of people to get in the water, and then everybody will flock in.
Yeah, I noticed that you sent me into the water first. All right, so
exactly. Steve goes for a swim, comes back all right, then I'll go with him.
Thank you, my friend. A pleasure. We will talk soon because I'm not going to let this longer gap happen again.
Absolutely. All right, have a great week, guys.